And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Good morning, Senator Blumenthal. I wanted to just first start off with just seeing if we had any kind of an update when you brought up the conversation of what's going on with the 9/11 Museum in Manhattan. Did you get any movement on that, any sort of reaction from that story?
We're continuing to look into the possibilities of using the existing Shuttered Venue Operator Grant Program, which is part of the massive American Rescue Plan. The challenge is that that program compensates for lost revenue. In other words, an operating theater or museum or a zoo that has lost revenue. And of course, the 9/11 Museum is still being formed, so it hasn't technically lost admission receipts or other revenue. But we're looking into the possibilities of another way to approach it. And I can tell you, as we approach the 20th anniversary of 9/11, it has increased urgency and poignancy. I've been in touch with many of the 9/11 families over the years, and more specifically recently about other injustices, such as their effort to obtain relief against Saudi Arabia, the injustice that may have been caused by the Saudis' participation in 9/11 by supporting the attackers in some way. So I'm in communication with them and with others about the various ways that we can recognize this anniversary of 9/11.
It's interesting, though, Senator Blumenthal. So I didn't realize that. So the fund is only if you've lost revenue, like in ticket prices. It doesn't matter if you've laid off or furloughed workers. It's only based on ticket prices. That's interesting.
Well, it's based on lost revenue, which
right.
can come from a variety of sources, advertising, ticket sales, concessions. But it really has to be, in most cases, an ongoing enterprise to have lost revenue. In other words, a startup won't have the same kind of demonstrable losses, and the 9/11 Museum is still trying to raise money so that it can really establish itself. But that is not to say it's impossible that we'll provide some federal support.
So, Senator Blumenthal, I appreciate you looking into that. Thank you so much. And of course, we'll stay posted with you on that and where it gets updated. It was interesting. I was recently having a conversation about Metro North, and I started to think about a past conversation you and I had. First of all, before I put words in your mouth, because I don't want to do that, what was it you told me about Metro North? Forgive me because I can't remember exactly. Didn't we have access to funds or ways to update Metro North, our railways, like in the past, but Metro North just didn't use those resources? Am I on the right track? No pun intended. Didn't you say something about that? Not recently, but in the last couple of years?
A lot of federal funds have been made available through Amtrak, as well as directly to Metro North, a $1 billion loan by the federal agency with jurisdiction over rails. They've used a lot of that money in the right way. But my point is that we need to invest even more in commuter rail, like Metro North, and other rail resources like Amtrak, which takes people longer routes. Straightening the tracks for Metro North could cut half an hour off the trip from New Haven to New York, and 18 minutes from, for example, Norwalk to New York. So there are really vast possibilities, not just to repair and maintain Metro North, but also to really improve it in a transformative way. So I will tell you, one of my priorities in this next federal program, the American Jobs Plan that we're debating right now in the Congress and trying to move it forward, is rail. And I've said there won't be an infrastructure program that I can support unless there is a major commitment to rail and transit in the way that all of us in the region think is necessary, because safety and reliability are really important. So is speed, the quickness of travel. And it now takes longer to go to New York from for example, Bridgeport or Stanford, than it did decades ago. That is the kind of defect that we need to repair.
I agree with you. We're talking to Senator Blumenthal. I mean, it really is significant. It feels so significant. You almost dread using the train because it takes forever. And yet Metro North, you know, like the area of Fairfield County, New Haven County into Manhattan, I'm pretty positive is one of the busiest rail systems in the country. So it's interesting, Senator Blumenthal, that it's been kind of put on the back burner for so long. I mean, I understand it doesn't obviously impact the entire country, but I'm surprised that it's sort of deteriorated for so long that we've gotten to this point where now, okay, we need to do something about it.
It does really affect the entire country. Think about it for a moment. The Walk Bridge in Bridgeport, the Connecticut River Bridge, they carry trains through Connecticut. If they are down, meaning they're not functioning, the entire rail traffic up and down the East Coast, certainly between Washington, D.C. and Boston, is crippled. It's delayed, and it can actually be stopped. If there's a derailment, as it was in Bridgeport, it can stymie the entire rail traffic on the East Coast. That costs billions of dollars because we depend on rail not only for passenger traffic but also for rail. So the tracks used by Metro North are the same tracks used by Acela, by the freight trains, many of them. And so we need to invest in that infrastructure, and that's why I'm pressing so hard for more investment in rail. Plus, just think about it for a moment. We know one of the best ways to take cars off the road or people out of their cars going to New York, for example, is to give them affordable, really good ways to get to New York alternatives that they can use. So it's really an environmental issue as well as an economic one.
No, I mean, if anything, you just proved the point how badly we should be fixing up Metro North. You had mentioned the American Jobs Plan is being debated right now and kind of being worked out. Do we have some kind of a price range on that package, like how much that's going to cost? How much money are we getting out of that?
There are two numbers, Melissa. One is the bipartisan plan, which is about $600 billion in new money. And the other is a proposal made by the Budget Committee Democrats, which is in the range of $3.5 trillion. The second obviously goes way farther than the bipartisan plan, and it covers additional money, including rail, by the way, of course, that is ignored in some ways by the bipartisan plan or addressed inadequately. It covers not just the human capital, or not just the physical capital, like roads, bridges, rail, but also that human capital, like daycare for everyone, free community colleges, skill training, because people needed to go back to work, and other human needs that are very important, such as making permanent the child tax credit.
So the bipartisan plan at a lesser amount, that does not include the rails, correct?
It has some money for rails. For example, we calculate about $30 billion for the Northeast Corridor, but we think that more is necessary. And if you look at the Northeast Corridor Commission report, which said that $117 billion over 15 years was necessary, and you calculate the 10-year equivalent, certainly quite a bit of more money is necessary in the infrastructure plan that Congress is certainly debating, in my view.
Yeah, my only concern, Senator Blumenthal, and I know there's no correct, you know, there's no perfect answer, but, you know, when you hear $3 trillion, all I think of is, okay, we passed this American Rescue Plan. We had all of these, you know, checks go out to Americans over the last year, understandably so. But when you hear $3 trillion, I just, all I can think of is the fact that America is just going to be in crazy debt. That I just have no idea how we're supposed to pay that back. I mean, how are we paying for the American Jobs Plan?
Remember that it's that amount of money over a period of years. In fact, for most of it, 10 years. So think of it as an investment that will pay back in economic returns, in human returns, the talents and energy that we will develop, but also the quality of life returns. And, you know, I'll just stress again the economic returns. You just made the case for better rail in terms of people getting to work, getting out of their cars, being more mobile in a world where I think isolation is a danger. So investment is really important.
Senator Blumenthal, we appreciate your time this morning talking about these topics. Thank you so much. We'll check back in with you next week. We are connecting now with Ellen Tracy, who's the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters Southwestern Connecticut, located on Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport. And Ellen, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you, Melissa.
So, Ellen, tell me about the school supply drive. Is this something that you guys do every year?
Well, yes, it is something we do every year. But unfortunately, because so many people are working from home, it changes the landscape considerably for us. It used to be, traditionally, there will be workplace, someone who works for Peoples, for example, will spread the word in the building, and people will bring the supplies in throughout at this time of year. Well, so many people are working at home that it's become very challenging. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate your putting the word out to the general public and let them know. I mean, it's so exciting that kids are going back to school, and we want to make sure they're prepared with what they need to go back to school, to really hit the ground running after this awful delay they've had in their education.
Absolutely.
And in their social lives.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, I think if anyone's being real with themselves, there was nothing, I can't think of something more exciting than, honestly, maybe I'm a nerd, but when I was a kid, I loved supply shopping. I loved it. I mean, I really did all the way up until even like my college years. I loved getting new folders and pens and pencils and the matching cases. Like I loved it all. You could sign me up for that like all over again. I loved it. I thought
it was
a
symbolic.
Blast.
It's symbolic of a new beginning.
Yeah. Yes.
So no matter how badly you may have botched up last year, you have a chance this year.
True. So what are you looking for? What supplies are you guys looking for?
Well, you name it. Of course, notebooks, backpacks, glue, scissors, anything you can think of, pencils, pens, anything you can think of that a child, will need in his arsenal to get back to work.
So are these supplies for any grade level? Like you're talking kindergarten through senior year of high school?
Yes.
Okay.
Although the majority will be the younger kids.
Okay. All right. So again, we're talking to Ellen Tracy, the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters Southwestern Connecticut, And I know they're doing a school supply drive. You have an event coming up on August 27th. So before you tell me about the event, does that mean people can literally go drop off supplies like from now until then?
Yes, that would be great. We are located at, you gave the address, which is great. We're located in the Burroughs Community Center in the Black Rock section of Bridgeport. And so we have offices on the second floor here. So we're more than happy to accept anything that people would like to drop by with. We also have an Amazon wish list. And say you're not in Bridgeport and can't drop something off easily, you're more than welcome to go on to our wish list.
So I'm going to ask you for a link to the wish list. Do you mind giving the physical address again for anybody who's just tuning in?
It's Burroughs Community Center, 2470 Fairfield Avenue.
Okay.
So, in Bridgeport.
So you can, do people just drive by, and is there like a box outside? Do they come to your office? Where do
there
they drop
isn't.
Off?
There isn't. They would have to come into the building.
Okay. No, that's fine. No worries.
Yeah.
So if you are able to drop it off, again, at their offices, that is fantastic. But if you can't, Big Brothers Big Sisters has provided a link to a wish list, it sounds like. So I have the link, actually, and with this podcast, when this goes up on the podcast, I will include the link to the wish list. You could just click on the link, and you'll find the wish list right there. And,
right.
And that stuff will just get sent right to you.
And that will be delivered right to us.
That's excellent. That is so great. Now, what if people just want to send, like, a donation? Is that an option?
Yes, always, always. Again, it would be payable to Big Brothers Big Sisters, Southwestern Connecticut, at 2470 Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport, or on our website, which is www.bbbsswct.org. And there's a big donate button that will take you right to PayPal.
Perfect. So Ellen Tracy, Executive Director of Big Brothers Big Sisters Southwestern Connecticut, good luck with the school supply list.
I think this
is great. I have to imagine, like you said, you know, coming out of the pandemic, people working from home, you know, it's harder. You don't have like the camaraderie of people being there in person to do drop-offs.
That's absolutely right.
Well, hopefully we get the word out there and we get a good turnout this year for sure for those kids.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed. Thanks for your help, Melissa.
Absolutely, Ellen Tracy. Thank you so much for calling into the show. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care.